Hello, hello, and welcome to this month's first Spooky Stories episode. I've been meaning to do this again for a little while, especially after reading from the Brothers Grimm again, for those of you in my cuddlebug tier. For Spooky Month's Spooky Stories, even though it does have that element of weird and a little bit scary at times, I won't be reading from the Brothers Grimm. I wanted to branch out a little bit and do something different from those type of stories. For this audio, and potentially other audios for Spooky Month, I'll be reading from a subreddit called r/nosleep. I know that some of you may have heard of it, seeing how big this subreddit is. I actually have seen a little bit from it, from listening to other streamers read stories from it before, so I thought I'd hop on there as well and see if I could find anything interesting to share with you guys. Just from a quick look, I have found a few that I've either read before or saw the name and thought it was interesting, so let's see how long this first part will be and how much we can get through today. Without further ado, sit back, relax for me, and let's start with the first story I came across. It's called "My Roommate Has Been in the Shower for More Than 4 Hours." So, I got home around 11 p.m., Late night at the office turned into an even later night at the bar. About 4 drinks deep at this point, and I'm tired. Just about ready to fall asleep as I stumble through the doorway. I lay down on the couch and reach for my bag of joints and spark one up as I pull up YouTube on my laptop. I'm in the middle of watching some luxury cruise tour, close to passing out, when I hear the front door open. I sit up and turn my head slightly, just enough to see my roommate coming in. He hangs his jacket in the closet and doesn't say anything and walks slowly to his room, which is normal enough. I've been living with him for about 3 months, long enough for me to pick up on most of his tendencies. The guy really doesn't talk unless spoken to, which was far from a problem for me. He also generally kept things clean on his end, never causing much in the way of problems. I really couldn't complain. So, I go back to watching YouTube, and about 5 minutes later, I hear the shower in his room turning on. Once again, nothing strange. At this point, I'm watching bare-knuckle boxing highlights with my eyes half open, maybe 1 or 2 minutes away from passing out. I remember waking up in darkness, my head hurting, my throat dry as hell. I sat up slowly, waiting for the grogginess to settle into something more manageable. Once it did, I grabbed my phone, checked the time. It was around 3:30 a.m. from what I remember. I was starving, so I got up and began walking towards the fridge. And then I noticed it. A soft but ever-present noise in the background. It took me a few seconds to realize what it was. The shower. Suddenly, the events of last night began replaying in my head. Drinking at the bar, Ubering home, laptop, couch, my roommate coming home, the shower turning on. I stood there for a while, trying to make sense of it. Maybe he went to bed and forgot to turn it off? I shook my head. There's no way that would happen, I thought. Maybe he slipped and fell? Realizing the implications of this, I rushed towards his room but found his bathroom door locked. I began pounding on it. "Hey man, are you alright?" No response. I considered kicking the door down, but decided to call 911 before I did that. I took my phone out, preparing to dial when I noticed that I had an unread text. One from my roommate. "Hey man, I couldn't sleep, so I went over to my girlfriend's place. Not sure when I'll be back." Sent 2 hours ago. I looked at the bathroom door, then back at my phone. everything about this was wrong. First of all, my roommate barely texts me, and certainly would never tell me he's going out. Second of all, I know for a fact he's single and has been for a while. Third of all, who the fuck was in the shower then? I tried calling him. No answer. Sent him some texts, but no response. I walked over to his desk and saw that his keys and wallet were still beside his laptop. My head's starting to spin at this point, and I get out of there, go into the living room, and turn on the lights. I'm pacing around in a circle, trying to follow the plot while also trying to ignore the shower. A noise that I never could have imagined being so dreadful in any context. Sometime later, I hear something vibrating on the kitchen counter. I move towards it and see that it's a phone. My roommate's phone. The panic begins setting in, and immediately I grab the keys and run out of the apartment. I make my way down the hall and take the stairs down to the lobby, but even that doesn't seem far enough away. And so I make my way down to the McDonald's across the street. I sit there for a while, considering calling the cops, but for some reason, feeling too nervous to do so. But even though there was hardly anybody in there, the place begins to feel suffocating, and I decide to leave, walking back out onto the empty streets. Almost immediately, I get this feeling that I'm being watched. And I feel my gaze drifting up towards the apartment. Soon, I'm looking at my balcony, and I see somebody standing there. A dark figure stood completely straight, stiff to the point where it nearly resembles a mannequin. But it wasn't one. If I look closely, I can see it just slightly swaying. I froze in place, my mind hardly able to understand or accept what I was seeing. It's not my roommate. It's too tall. In fact, it's too tall to be anybody I know. Its head is nearly scraping the bottom of the balcony above. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't make out any of its details. The darkness and the distance may have been enough to explain that away, but there was something about it that drove me towards a different conclusion. That this thing simply possessed no details that could have been observed. That the only element of its composition was that of unadulterated darkness. Of course, my gut instinct was to get the hell away from it. But the voice in my head was telling me that if I were to try and run, this thing would end up following me. I went back into the McDonald's instead, locking myself in the bathroom as I finally dialed 911. I told the operator that someone had broken into my place, but I had gotten out of there without them noticing, but that they were still there. It was the story that most accurately represented the situation, without making me come across as batshit crazy. The operator told me that they'd be sending someone over and for me to hang tight. I left the bathroom, waiting at the table closest to the exit until I could see the red and blue lights cutting through the darkness. I went outside to meet the cops, looking up at the balcony to find it empty, though the door to the living room had been left open. They had pelted me with a bunch of questions that I found difficult to answer. Is the intruder armed? Do I have any idea who it might be? What are their intentions? I told them I didn't know, that I couldn't figure it out, but they just kept asking. Soon, I was practically yelling at them to go up there and check it out for themselves, and I suppose the terror in my voice was enough for them to begin to take it seriously. They told me to wait by the entrance, and I watched on as they entered the building. I was out there for a long time, growing increasingly anxious at the thought of what they were going to tell me when they came down. A few minutes later, the silence was broken by a single, muffled gunshot. My heart dropped into my stomach, and I continued to wait there, unsure of what else to do. 20 more minutes of silence, and the officers still hadn't come down. Soon, I could hear more of them approaching in the distance. Before I knew it, four more cops had pulled up around me, and the scene had fallen into chaos. Officers shouting over each other and into the radios. More questions being hurled my way, none of which I was able to answer. The next few sequences were mostly blurry, but I remember the building being evacuated, the tenants frightened and confused as they were ushered outside, while the officers became more and more frantic. I remembered hearing more scattered gunshots, some screaming, other noises that were difficult to make sense of. There were a few lapses in my memory after that, but I recall being pushed into the back of a police car. After being driven to the station, I was led into one of the interrogation rooms, where I found two nondescript men in suits were waiting for me. They didn't introduce themselves, and immediately went into a series of questions, each one more bizarre than the last. What company was your roommate employed by? What was the nature of his job? How many different people have been inside your apartment since your roommate moved in? Have you ever heard voices inside the apartment from the hours of midnight to 3 a.m.? Voices that did not belong to your roommate? Have you ever seen a circle of people standing outside the apartment from the hours of midnight to 3 a.m.? People that were exceptionally tall. And one of the most unsettling ones. Have you ever seen somebody standing at the foot of your bed upon waking up between the hours of midnight to 3 a.m., only for them to disappear moments later? If so, do you remember what they looked like? Any distinct features? As they continued probing me, my mind began conjuring up some of the strange shit that had been happening after my roommate had moved in. Shit that I had written off as figments of my imagination, simply because I had no other explanation for them. I did hear the voices, always coming from the room next to mine, where my roommate slept. I was always so tired when I heard them, but I do remember it either sounding like a young woman or a man with an extremely deep voice. I could never make out words. It always sounded like gibberish. And then there was that one time where I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Still half asleep, I didn't bother turning on the lights as I entered, but as my eyes began to adjust to the dark, I could have sworn that somebody was already sitting on the toilet. Somebody extremely tall. Of course, when I turned on the lights, there was nothing. It was easy to just chalk it up as a product of late-night drowsiness at the time, and I had never really thought about it since. After doing my best to give them useful information, the suits spent a good few minutes taking notes on their phones. Once they were done, they sat up quickly and told me that they'd be in touch before leaving the room. A cop came in a few minutes later and told me that since I couldn't return to my apartment, they would set me up in a nearby hotel until they were able to get the situation under control, and that I should stay put until they gave me a call. "What happened?" I asked him. "What did you guys find up there?" And he just stared at me for a long time. Not as if he were deep in thought, but as if he held deep aversion for what he was considering telling me. Eventually, he just shook his head. "I don't know," he said. "I mean, I really don't know." I just nodded, tried to smile, though I'm sure it didn't come across well. It's the next day now, and I'm in the hotel. Of course, I couldn't sleep, couldn't really eat. The officer hasn't called yet. When I try searching up information about the evacuation on the internet, All I can find are articles claiming that it was due to a fire. A fucking fire. Update. I fell asleep and just woke up. It's 1 a.m. now. And I can hear the shower. And that's the end of the post. Going down into the comments, it's filled with people either saying to get out and leave immediately, or them theorizing what happened or what this figure is. One person just says shadow people. Another one says skinwalker. Some people think that the roommate was messing with something occult and it backfired on him and now the other roommate. That's so interesting though, that the story mentions the police. I feel like more times than not, stories that are pretty strange like this don't involve the police, or no one really understands or knows what happened except like one person. So it's interesting from the standpoint that it's not just the person telling the story, it's also quite a few more people. That something weird's going on, at least. I would really love to know what the gunshots were, though. Whether they saw something, or, like, the roommate got possessed by something. That was really interesting. I would love an update on this story. So I'll keep a lookout on it. I really, really would love to read something else from it in the next part. Okay. The next story, is a little bit shorter, and I think I'll end off on this story. Just because it's also pretty creepy, and I want to hear what you guys would want to see in the next part. So I won't make this part too long, hopefully. But yeah, definitely let me know, what you think of this story and the previous one. This one was voted best single part story of 2023 on this subreddit. And I think after reading it, or listening to me read it, you'll understand why. Okay. The title of this post is, "My wife is lurking in my childhood photos, but I met her at the age of 30. And she looks no younger in the older pictures. Sometimes, it feels as if my life has been nothing but an ever-revolving door of grief. I'm only 34 years old, and I've lost everyone to death, rejection, or diverging paths. My parents, my sister, my childhood friends, and countless other loved ones. I feel numb, directionless. Above all else, I feel angry. I hate the world for taking them from me. I hate life for dealing cards from a rotten deck. My mother passed away last year. She had been fighting a lengthy battle with dementia since 2019. I didn't cry when she died. I had nothing left in the tank. I'd already endured small, painful pinches of grief over the years. I grieved whenever she lost a piece of herself. I grieved for every one of us that she forgot, whilst there was still those of us left to forget. Those 4 years fragmented me. Mom and I were close, and it broke my heart to see her very soul disintegrate. She was my only remaining family. My dad and my sister died when I was young. And slowly, everyone else vanished too. I can't explain it, but in spite of her deterioration, I think Mom held on to life for me. I worry, Brennan, my mother hazily said. You're safe, Mom, I said. You don't need to... No, I worry about Brennan, she interjected in a fluster. I'm Brennan, Mom, and I'm fine, I sighed. I worry, she absentmindedly whispered. My mother died February 2023. I was left with one person in the entire world, Olivia. I counted my blessings to have a darling wife who would always be by my side, until I realized how terribly true that might be. Whilst I was cleaning out my mother's attic, I found a box of photo albums. Dust-coated antiques that I'd never seen before. Too many painful memories, perhaps. But a twinge of warmth spread through my body as I eagerly flipped through the pages. A fuzzy, forgotten feeling. I remembered being happy as a child. I was surrounded by family and friends. I lovingly tore through the pages. And I was moments away from shouting to my wife to come up to the attic. But then I noticed something bizarre. Olivia was standing in the back of the photo. It was a picture of a day at the zoo with my parents and my sister. Through metal bars at the opposite end of the lion enclosure, I could see my wife standing there. Someone I didn't know as a child. But it was her. There was no doubt about that. Distinctive black hair, fair complexion, petite physique. She wore a thin, knowing smile that seemed unbefitting of her, or any version of Olivia that I had seen. My stomach gurgled nervously, but I had smiled and laughed it off. Uncanny, I whispered to myself. Obviously it couldn't have been her, I told myself. We're the same age, and she would have been a child at the time. It's just a doppelganger. I carried on flicking through the pages, and then a lump formed at the surface of my throat. My wife appeared again. This time, it was a photo of her family's Christmas gathering in a restaurant. And outside the window, beneath the smoking shelter, a solitary figure stood and watched us. It was Olivia, or a woman who, yet again, looked identical to my 33-year-old wife. Once is nothing. Twice is a coincidence, I muttered uncertainly. I frantically tore through the photo album, a sweat collected in thick, icy trails in my colorless cheeks. Olivia was in every photo, and she looked no different from present day. The same woman, always lurking somewhere in the background, discreetly watching, ever wearing that foul grin. My heart thumped fitfully. This was no longer an oddity, a funny peculiarity. It was unsettling enough to see evidence of a person stalking my family. But a person who hadn't aged in 33 years? It was sinister. It defied everything my logical brain knew to be true. I found myself trembling in terror and clawing at my hair. I had stopped turning pages. After seeing my wife skulking in dozens of pictures, I hadn't the stomach to continue. But I couldn't tear my eyes off the page before me. It was a photo captioned, "Yummy Cake, Brennan's 10th Birthday Party." I was sitting in the back garden on an overcast day. A decadent chocolate cake sat on my lap. My jubilant friends and family surrounded me. I was midway through blowing out 10 candles, and the flames leaned away from my pursed lips. There she was, again. Hiding in a photo from the year 2000. Olivia would have been 10 years old, just like me. And yet the camera told another tale. This time, my fully grown wife cowered behind the short fence at the rear of our property. But the top of her head peered into our garden, and I could distinguish her distinctive black hair. Her eyes were bloodshot and thirsty. She was, perhaps most hauntingly, eyeing the camera. It felt as if she could see me in the attic. "You're losing your mind, Brennan," I thought, eyes still unable to look away. "This isn't real. It's all in your..." A sudden wisp of wind extinguished the attic light. My body shivered uncontrollably, and I found myself wrestling with an undeniable thought. It sounded like lips blowing air. Trying to steady my breath, I anxiously patted the floor of the blackened attic. "I wish I wouldn't leave my phone in stupid places," I thought. I wanted to leave, but I didn't trust myself to maneuver through my mom's cluttered attic in the dark. And then my fingers brushed over a familiar, smooth surface. "Gotcha," I thought, before picking up my phone and turning on the flashlight. I screamed. The birthday photo had changed. The candles on my cake were gone, and I was sitting alone. No family, no friends, nobody. Not even Olivia. I stumbled to my feet and dropped the book. The floorboards moaned as I shifted my weight backwards. I had to get far from that cursed book. That cursed attic. I twisted to run to the attic door, but I didn't move beyond that first step. My torchlight illuminated something horrifying. Poking her head through the attic opening, Olivia smiled at me. Her eyes mirrored those in numerous photographs I had just seen. Her pupils seemed darker, wider, red veins painted in the corners. Her eyes rippled ever so slightly, as if they were not really eyes at all. I don't know what happened to the woman I married, but that wasn't who eyed me from the attic door. She was a horror. Some rabid mouse that had soundlessly slithered up the stairs and the ladder. My wife giggled. "I'll eat you from the inside out." And then the woman plummeted through the attic door, disappearing from sight. Thinking only of escaping, I lunged through the door, but something seized my ankle, chaining me to the attic. I spun to face my shackle, and my mouth parted in wordless terror. From the open page of the photo album, Olivia's twisted arm and face had emerged. She offered a toothy grin and unhinged eyes as she attempted to pull me into the picture. "Vile bile, so rich. And with our consummation, it becomes complete." I cried in agony as I was dragged to hell by the thing that I had loved for 3 years. A hellish demon I had believed to be my wife, but it seemed I truly had nobody left. Nothing but a cancerous tumor clinging to my every essence. It was draining the last of my pain, the last of my suffering. I closed my eyes and thought of my loved ones. The loved ones I was certain I would shortly see again. As the terrifying, demonic limb pulled my leg into the photo album, I prepared to meet whatever fate awaited. All of that anger, the years spent in perpetual psychological nightmare, for nothing. I visualized my mother's smiling face, and a calmness swept through my mind. "I worry about Brennan," she said. I started to fib, before deciding to unburden the weight on my chest. "No, I'm not fine, Mom. But I will be." Suddenly, the hissing ceased. All sound ceased. And when I opened my eyes, My wretched wife was gone. My ankle was no longer merging with the laminated plastic, but it throbbed painfully. The bottom of my trouser leg bore claw-shaped tears, and it was stained with fresh blood. To be certain that the entity had vanished, I cast my phone light onto the book, and the picture of my 10th birthday had returned to normal. I wasn't alone. I was surrounded by family and friends. Nothing could destroy that memory in my mind, but I shuddered as I turned the pages of the book. My smiling wife was still lurking in the photographs. I fled the house, and I haven't looked back. It's been a year, and I don't fear the memories anymore. I'm moving forward. I'm learning to love again. I'm learning to open myself up to new people and new memories. But I still fear loss. After all, that horrifying woman waits for me. I know she does. I fear the day that I notice her in a new photo. And that's the end of this post. That's terrifying. The story already starts out pretty sad with the passing of his mother and the loss of basically all his family and friends, but you almost feel like a sense of relief that he says he has his wife until you remember what the title of this story was. I can't imagine having to try to find a way to move on from something so suddenly and try to make sense of it at the same time. Like, was any of their marriage real? Was she real? How did this all start, you know? I don't know. But I will say that this story, out of the few that I've read or, like, kind of checked out before, is definitely one of my favorites from this subreddit. So, hopefully, I can, I guess, beat that in the next part. Speaking of, again, let me know, if there's any creepypasta or specifically from this subreddit, r/nosleep, any stories from here that you would want me to read from, I would be happy to read them. I really enjoyed reading these two to you guys, and I hope that, you know, you don't have too much trouble falling asleep tonight. But with that being said, thank you again for listening, and I'm looking forward to your guys' thoughts and comments about it. I'll see you guys soon. Good night.